So you guys are like off and running. We're going to start this podcast after we started the podcast.
Right, all right,
like right now.
All right, awesome.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jay from Jocko, and I'm here, as always, with...
With Rafi from KFI Engineers.
And our special guest today is Tiff Gannon from Vertiv. Tiff, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm actually really excited about this. I've been a long-time ASHRAE member, but the thing that I love the most is, you know, the built environment's been around forever. And so a lot of times people look at it and they don't think of it as innovative. They don't think of it as cutting edge. But I would argue just the opposite. It's where we spend the majority of our time.
90% so of your time you spend
we should
of a
be putting tremendous innovation effort into making that the best experience possible. Yep. So, but going back to where I was, what I was trying to say with that is, when you think about the idea of doing a podcast and everything that that might convey in your mind, that's a little bit different than what most people think of with ASHRAE. And so I just commend you guys for doing this because...
Thanks, Tiff.
The need
to
bring young folks into our industry, to make them understand the value of ASHRAE, the value of contributing in this career, and what it can do for them, but what they can do for the industry in general and for all of the people around them in their communities, it's really significant. And I just love that you guys are doing something that I think is way more consumable for the people in the first third of their career than people like us that might be in the middle to the tail end. And I'm not a podcast guy. In the way that my younger colleagues are, that is the main form in which they like
listening to something on the drive-in.
It is unbelievable. Yeah, I can't wrap my mind around it. I listen to the radio because I guess I'm just old. But they all listen to podcasts. Yeah. It's like they could give you a list of 10 podcasts they like.
Sure.
So I love that you guys are doing this and meeting people where they're at. It's such a great way to do this.
And hopefully, you know, they add this podcast to their list.
Totally. Yeah.
You shall see.
And so, Tiff, give us a little bit of the background about yourself. And one thing I want to say first and foremost, I want to thank Vertiv for sponsoring our ASHRAE Regional CRC Platinum sponsor, title sponsor of the event.
Yes.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for doing that.
Certainly.
That helps us do stuff like this. That helps us get the word out. And it's going to be a great CRC coming up. So with that, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do in your career so that we get to know you a little better.
Yeah. So my career, I started doing mechanical engineering studies at Ohio State. And ironically, I was there. I was friends with a guy that was a personal trainer for the district manager of a major HVAC company that ran sales in Ohio. And this guy just had this idea. He goes, I want an intern one day. And my buddy happened to be standing there, as he said. He goes, I don't know. I know a young man that's competitive, did athletics growing up, and is a mechanical engineer. Why don't you talk to him? And it just kind of went from there. And I really fell in love with, I would describe it as the local sales side of our industry, of talking to folks about how to properly apply products and to be involved. Over time, what I realized was I wasn't actually very good at being a local salesperson. The key things that make you really great is attention to detail, follow through on projects. I hate that I'm having to say this about myself, but it took a long time where I wrestled with who I was.
100%.
And I realized that the people that do that really well, it's just like blocking and tackling for them. And I could grind through it for a certain period of time, but it just wasn't me. So I moved into different roles, but that's where I got my start. And that's where I really started to love, I would say, how buildings get put together and got involved with ASHRAE. Since then, I've moved into different areas of product management. I'm responsible for kind of the life cycle of products for a company called Vertiv here, headquartered in Columbus, that's focused on the data center industry. And now I provide leadership for all of our pre-sales technical support for our thermal business in North America. So if you think about any product from a network closet up to a Google data center, all of them have intense amounts of thermal heat that need to be rejected and removed from the space. So my team is the team that supports our local offices, our account managers, essentially all of those people that do that work across the country. Ultimately, the back-end support is my team. So the training, all of that kind of comes back to my team. So
providing leadership, what does that look like on a daily basis for you?
So I have a lot of young team members. They're early on in their career. They're fresh out of school. This might be their first or second job.
Awesome.
So part of it is, you know, how do they think, not just about doing their job, but how do they spend time improving who they are professionally? And how do they do that in a strategic manner with a mind towards the future, but not so much that they take away from what they do on a daily basis?
Yep.
And so one of the things I determined after a lot of soul searching was, you know, there are some folks that want to be executives to hit revenue numbers or to lead a certain number of people. What I decided was going to be the defining measure of success in my career is how much success do the people that work in my organization have over the lifetime of their careers?
100%.
So the way I would measure it is if I'm continually finding people elevating their talent level and they are leaving my organization to take on additional levels of responsibility, then I am doing my job to the best of my ability. Yep. So I want to look back at my career and say, how many people did I positively impact in a way such that their career took off because they worked for me for a period of time?
That is very similar to my concept of what I would like to leave behind as well, which is I cannot believe you sound exactly like how I think. Mm. It's improving on a process, right? Mm. I preach to my younger engineers, hey, if you're finding that there's a troubling thing about the outside air spreadsheet, load calcs, anything, or even just getting something into Revit or, you know, one of these mundane things that we have to do a million times. If you're finding that that is taking you a long time, let's look at a different way to do it. Let's try to find some efficiencies. Let's write a little white paper and let's start distributing that to the rest of our team. So that way, boom, this efficiency is already realized now going forward and we don't have to do it again. But there's always a different way and better way to do things, you know, more efficient and quicker, or, you know, make sure that there is more of a QC aspect tied into that. Mm-hmm. So just throughout your career, it sounds like you have a similar mentality of trying to make the captains underneath you not realize that you're the captain here, but that they can also be the captain and move on to a wider berth of things that they can
for sure
preach to other
for
people.
Sure. One of the things that I realized, and this sounds terrible, right? We all make mistakes in our career, right? And one of the things that I've seen and detected in young folks is they're often very concerned about making a mistake. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they could do their job and do it so carefully and so with such consideration that they don't almost ever make a mistake. But I would argue that that's not actually what many of us would hire people to do. You need to do a certain amount of work in a certain amount of time.
Sure.
And that requires a certain amount of educated guesses and estimates. And if you do enough of them, eventually some of them go bad. And so what I'm trying to get some of my younger folks to do is, hey, let's figure out the right amount of work to get done. Mm-hmm. Let's figure out the right amount of risk to take on. And then I need to give them and empower them the ability to make independent decisions along with the backing, knowing that
you got their backs.
Yeah.
Right.
That we
it's
will
a mentality.
Get through this. Yes. And so what I've found is people enjoy that level of authority. It takes you know, for the young folks on my team, I think.
And freedom.
Yeah. It gives them more than a job. It gives them agency. It gives them the independent, the ability to make their own decisions,
right?
And to have some ownership. And I think that drives people to really enjoy their job.
Helps them realize, oh, nobody is going to do this. I'm the one that people are looking to for me to do this.
Yes,
this is my role. Okay, how can I do this better? Let's do it.
Yep. All right. Exactly. And then, you know, that upfront statement of, my expectation is you try things. And if you haven't failed in something in a decent sized way this year, I don't know that you've been aggressive enough with the things you've taken on.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Fail fast is a motto I like to convey. Like if you're going to fail fast and then don't fail the same way again.
True.
And that will equate to long-term success.
Now I hear you. And part of that is, you know, culturally Vertiv used to be part of Emerson. Emerson was a traditional American conglomerate as the economy grew, they wanted to grow slightly faster than their economy. And so the culture that we had for many, many years was not one of educated risk-taking. It was more of a don't make a mistake.
Yeah.
And so that created a certain mentality with our people. Mm-hmm. And I would say in the current market that the data center world is in right now, that mentality loses.
Right.
Just simply loses.
Yeah.
You will never...
You get to a roadblock if they stop.
Yes. You will get to a roadblock. You won't capture opportunities. Yeah. You won't innovate. You won't meet product needs, you know, and so what I'm trying to coach folks is, okay, you know, we have a certain way and as we interact with our customers, they will have requests. Some of the requests are good, some of them are bad, but, you know, our job is to find out ways in which we can say yes to as many things as reasonably possible and then provide them options that they can say, okay, how does this line up with my long-term project goals? It's not for Vertiv or to sell. And so, and so this wasn't meant to be a Vertiv thing, but that shows up in the philosophy of my younger early team folks, how, when they work with a colleague, how do we get to a place where you can find a yes within the freedoms that we have and what does that look like? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, to me that defines a lot of interactions you have professionally,
right?
Whether it's with internal customers, within its external customers, within its colleagues and peers, like that mentality of how do I grow? How do I find a yes? How do I do you find ways to accomplish?
And you touched on that in some of your answers prior to this. We sent a couple of questions out to them just to give them an idea of what kind of questions we talk about on this podcast. And this is the first time we've ever gotten full-blown paragraphs back.
Right.
I love this.
Very quickly. I was like, oh, okay. I can see why you are in a leadership position.
Oh, man, it is.
Your attention to detail is amazing.
You are the first person to say that. What I would say is I'm very passionate about this.
Yes.
My favorite thing in the world is to help folks to just essentially accelerate their career.
Yeah.
And it's taken me a long time to realize that's who I am.
Right.
And to get into a role where I get to do that. But now that I am doing it, you know, people say love what you do. And that is I've been blessed enough that I really do.
You used a great word, passion, there.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, all day long, I've been with my company long enough. We've gone through enough things, turbulence with the IPO process and the private equity purchase and divestment, that, you know, we had a number of people come in and out of leadership roles, but my credibility within the organization, because I've been there so long, allows me the freedom to spend time in areas I'm passionate about. Mm-hmm. And, well, I love helping people grow. So they allowed me to carve out a role where I do have real responsibility, right?
Yeah, sure.
But within that, I've structured it such that a big part of what I get to do is I get to coach people on how to be the best version of themselves for the period of time that they work in my part of the organization. It's super fun.
So
it's more fun than I can imagine.
That leads this as a perfect thing here is that let's rewind it a little bit. One of the comments that you made was there was a pivotal point in your career where you were upset about a merit increase.
Oh, man.
And then your existing, I guess, your director or your leader gave you a chance to move into a different role.
So
or helped you.
I'll name drop.
Yeah.
JP Valulis was the person that did this. He had a variety of marketing roles before he came into Vertiv. He worked at Disney. I think he worked in a number of places. Ultimately, I think he was running maybe marketing and sales for SPX Technologies for a period of time. But we were launching a product, and when you launch a product in the marketplace, there's literally an endless number of activities you could spend time on.
What was your existing role at this time?
I was a product manager.
Okay.
And because of my background in commercial HVAC, at that time, Vertiv was moving into custom air handlers.
Okay.
Because data centers were starting to use them. And he said, well, why don't you do this? Because you're the only one in Vertiv that has experience with custom air handlers.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as much as an ask as a tell. Yeah,
right.
You're doing this. But so in that space, when you're trying to bring out a new product for a new category that your company's into, there really are, there's a million things you could do. You could create catalogs. You could create presentations. What I chose to do was, I said, whenever there's an opportunity, I'm going to get on a plane. And literally, if there's an opportunity, I'm going to be in that customer's office the next morning. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask them how we might be able to meet their needs. And what ended up happening was, you know, because Vertiv was a known company, or it was Libra at that point in time, there was some name credibility. And then having somebody from corporate show up literally the next morning, people said, okay, I'm willing to take a chance on these folks, even though they have not in the past. So conflict with my boss came from, I got a decent merit increase, but it was within band. It was like 3%. But in order to launch this product, I probably was working 60 hours a week.
Sure.
So my frustration with him was, if I had worked 40 hours a week, I probably would have got about the same merit increase.
Yeah.
I've killed myself to help get this started, and there was almost no differentiated comp. And he basically said, he goes, the reason you're frustrated is because you are working for a role that you're not in. You've essentially performed a sales function or business development function, but you're in an offering management role. He goes, you're frustrated because you had expectations that came from doing that role, but that's not the role that you're actually in. He goes, the reason you're frustrated with me is because of this disconnect. And so what I will do is, I get it. This probably isn't the right spot in Vertiv for you, but we like you. So let's find a way to get you into a place where the things that make you tick, that you get passionate about, let's find a way where those line up with your actual job responsibilities.
That's awesome.
You're going to be happy and we're going to love it.
Yeah.
The thing that I loved about JP, there's many things. I still look at him as a mentor. So one, I'm a former college athlete. I came in so hot. Honestly, I was unprofessional.
What did you play?
Football. And I didn't play all the way through. I stopped because I wanted to do some other things with my life, volunteer with high school students and things like that. So I stopped playing college football to go do it. But like in certain areas, I do get maybe a little bit unprofessionally passionate and perhaps aggressive ways. I'm a large person. I'm 6'5", 270. I'd say this much to my embarrassment with how I handled that situation. But I was fired up, right?
Yeah, you'd be pretty imposing.
I used the full effect of my physical
size. Did you bring an axe in with you, too?
Yeah, right, with a big hood over his head. Yeah.
So JP, to all of his credit, he didn't blink an eye.
Yeah.
And he handled it with perfect poise. And he just said, you are frustrated at me right now, but your frustration is not really with me. He goes, we and I need to help you find a spot where the things you love doing are to bird of benefit. Mm-hmm. And we get those things aligned, you're going to have a great
redirection.
Career.
Yeah, correct.
And he basically said, I'll help you get there. He goes, I can't do anything about your merit increase right now. You can't come to me after a large corporation goes through a merit increase cycle that takes literally 120 days and tell me you're unhappy. He goes, I need months to make that work.
Right.
So you can't come to me now and expect that. That's just not the way a large corporation works. Mm-hmm. He goes, so in the future, if you want to have a conversation with your manager, you got to give him a long heads up because big machines take time to move. Yeah.
Great advice Lessons for both learned. Leaders yes. and yes. Yes. staff.
And he said, so in the future, come with evidence, come with reasoning, come with a little bit less fire.
Right.
And then we'll have a conversation with a professional manager. If your manager can't have that conversation, you probably don't want to be working for him anyway.
Totally.
And that's going to tell you a different set of information. Mm. But basically, it was the most wonderful experience of my life because he said, I thought I wasn't a sales-oriented person because I wasn't that great at local sales. What I realized is, much like any job, there's different flavors to it. So local sales is a different thing than corporate pre-sales support.
There's different metrics, right?
Yeah. I mean, just like engineering at a partner level, it's still engineering if you're leading a firm.
Sure.
But the way you contributed to the engineering process is very different than maybe somebody that's at the early part of your career that's selecting VAV boxes.
Correct.
But they're both 100% engineering, and there's overlap between them. And so it was just an important realization to me that it was really, as I went forward as a leader, my number one goal is to figure out what I can do best for my people, say, what exactly is this job?
Yeah.
And then help them, if they're in my organization, say, exactly what do you love to do?
Right.
Let's find that overlap. Like, sometimes I can help them, I can adjust the job. Sometimes I can't, and I got to find them other places in Vertiv. But that's okay, because, man, people are the number one things that define, people and culture are the things that define what company wins.
Yes.
And so if you're a company that cares about your culture, and you're really aggressive in finding, training, and retaining people, you're going to be, you've done everything you can to have advantages in the marketplace.
Put people in the right position that they want to be in.
Yes.
Right seat on the bus.
Yeah. And so, are there certain things about your employees that stick out to you that say, oh, you got to be in this role. You'd be great at it. You'd love it.
I would say comfort with spontaneous either group speaking or networking at events.
Communication.
Yeah, 100%. The number one most important thing I think you can develop as a skill set within your career is the capability to effectively communicate for a variety of methodologies.
Yep.
So it's how do you communicate via email? How do you communicate via phone? How do you communicate in the presence of customers in small groups, large groups? How do you speak in those instances?
Body language.
Yes. All of those things are really, really important. And understanding when there's engagement, what is the right way to communicate? What is the right methodology? So one of the things I'm coaching my team to go through right now is they're pretty good at responding to emails same day. But the problem with an email often is there's a specific question, and you can answer it with a specific answer. But the reality is sometimes a contextual conversation that takes 10 minutes on the phone will eliminate 30 back and forth via email.
Yeah, totally. I run into this all the time where you send an email or you get an email, right? And I read through the first couple lines and I'm like, wait a second. We need to just call this person because that entity is asking us a question that is really just arising 30 other questions. Mm-hmm. I need to understand, what is the rest of the system doing at this moment so that we can modify and answer your question effectively. Mm-hmm. Because really it's taking a step back and looking at the bigger picture.
Yes.
Because you can't just change a VAV box minimum. Well, what was the outside air percentage of the air handler? What are we talking about here?
Yeah, that
you know?
I love that you bring that up because in my mind that is one of the things I'm trying to teach my early career application engineers.
Yeah.
Right now we are, most of them are a place where they are very good technically. They have the right attitudes. They do. Honestly, I'm really excited about my own team. But they often will give answers with a little bit of context. And I'm trying to teach them, how to discern when do I make a phone call or when do I give an email with more context?
Yeah.
How do I decide amongst those things? Because I would say new hires, because of the way social media works, because of the way a variety of things work, they're a little bit predisposed towards electronic means of communication
right.
rather than calling people on the phone.
Right.
And I'm almost to the point where I've said, you are going to make X number of phone calls a week. I don't care if it's to the dog groomer, but you're going to have conversations on the phone.
Just to get you used to value added.
Yes.
Because I think so a lot of my nonprofit work, which I probably do 10 hours a week of, involves public speaking and just on a weekly basis to decent sized groups. And so because I've been doing that for 25 years, I have a great deal of comfort speaking in front of people. And that has really been a huge part of my career success. And so I look at my young folks that don't have that volunteer effort, so they don't have that natural setting. I'm saying, okay, well, it's my responsibility as leader to make sure that they're well-equipped coming down my team for whatever they do with Avertiv. Public speaking is a big part of it. So in the second half of the year, now that we're a little bit more stable with our hiring, my plan is we're going to do internal catered lunches where one person at a time, you're just giving a presentation. I don't care what's on.
Yep.
But the best way to do this is to just do it.
Correct.
So,
got to put them in spots to succeed, you know?
Yeah.
I grew up in a family of nothing but sports analogies, and they're just flooding to my mind right now, right? If the guy can't drive to the basket and make a layup, right, but he's great in the corner, you got to put him in the corner.
Yes.
And get him the ball.
Yes.
Get him in a spot where he can actually, be efficient.
So that you bring up a really interesting thing, this idea of building a team.
Yeah.
So as I hire out these young application engineers, and this is advice to folks that are probably early in their career. As I'm building out, so I did, once again, athletics are a big part of my life. Oh. I enjoy public speaking. I'm some might describe me stereotypically as a bro. I don't know. As a fraternity in college.
Sure.
You can do what you... But I'd like to think I'm a little bit more than that, but I'll let the listeners decide.
Sure.
You have a tendency to often hire people that are similar to you. And what I realized as I was building a team and through my career, there's a wide variety of different customer types. And there's a wide variety mm-hmm. of different people that my team needs to support.
Yep.
I can't, if I hire nothing but me, we will be ineffective. I need to be hiring strategically folks
who meet all those niche roles.
Yes, people that are different. So in this most recent hiring process, I did hire some young folks. One person on their resume put in their hobbies, and their hobbies were anime and baking. And I thought, that is so... Now, they had all the professional qualifications, but that was so different than anything I'd ever hired. I was like, I like that.
Yeah,
I like that. I know something about you, and it is very different than what I think the stereotypical person I would hire. I was like, I want you on my team because I think I don't know what you're going to add, but I'm convinced you're going to add a different angle that's going to help all of us be better, because when you speak up, you're just going to be coming from a different perspective.
Well, if you look between the lines, that's a very outgoing thing to say.
Yes.
On a resume as well.
Yes.
I guess it could go both ways, right? It could be very outgoing in a, he tried to actually to put that in, or... maybe a young, person that just didn't have the experience and thought.
To say anime is a little bit polarizing.
Yeah, right.
Either way, though, it's a diversity of thought.
Correct.
The whole diversity concept really, in my opinion, should evolve around diversity of thought
because
of that reason. And be intentional on bringing diverse thoughts into your organization.
Yep.
And that's something that I know I got to name drop Jeffrey Myers at DS Architecture.
Yeah.
He's been pounding that into me, like diversity of thought.
Yep.
And it works.
Yes.
I completely agree. I am very cognizant of wanting to have a diversity of thought, of experiences, of people, of backgrounds and in my team, because I think we are better off when those folks really start to gel.
Totally. That's an appreciation too of that the world is so large, right? Mm-hmm. There is so many different things out there that are interesting to other people. And I've always, I went through this growing phase when I early 20s where I realized one day, I had always been like, I don't like WWE wrestling. It's not for me. Then I realized one day, everything is for me. It just changes, change your perspective a little mm-hmm. bit. Find out why another human being is finding so much happiness in that. And if you can get a little piece of that happiness, makes your life better, appreciate what they appreciate, that's awesome. A wonderful thing.
And then I can hit you with a chair.
Yeah, right, exactly. or we can hit Sean with a chair. That'd be great.
And I think that's another great thing about ASHRAE in general is that diversity of thought is one of those proponents, just because we bring everyone together. You were telling me earlier that your employees are all I wouldn't say mandated, but they are encouraged.
Oh, they're mandated.
Are you allowed to mandate?
Nice. Yeah, yes. No, 100%. If they work for me. Now, I'm paying for it, right?
Yeah, right, so right.
Like, they're not even having to pay for it. But I'm saying, like, part of my professional expectations for you is you're joining ASHRAE, and you show up in the meetings.
Yep.
And there are certain folks that I'm saying, okay, I want part of your job. I want you to be involved with young engineers. Mm-hmm. I want you to go to those meetings. Vertiv should be sponsoring this stuff. Like,
good to know.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. No. I'm not saying I'm a limitless discretionary fund, but if I'm going to be completely transparent, Vertiv and the entire data center industry is growing in a rate that's much higher than the normal economy.
Sure.
And it will probably do so for another, I'd say at least 5 years before it plateaus, but still maintains probably a better than GDP type of growth on a regular basis. There's a limited number of people within Columbus, Ohio. So I am always desperately looking to attract talent. Always.
Sure.
And so, yeah. So to me, ASHRAE is a great place for exposure. Yeah. Now, ASHRAE has been good for me. So I choose to give back and I believe in it as an organization. So this isn't strictly like, how do I find people?
Sure. Of course.
But my sense is I would even say this. I'm trying to be 100% about the benefit of my people for their time at Vertiv and even after Vertiv. And so there's a number of folks that have realized that I want to be a design engineer and they've left to go to local firms. Well, because I know the principals at local firms, I can provide insight and say, yeah, if you want to get into this type of work, you know, these folks are at blank engineering firm, they're really good at it. That's what they specialize in. I know that manager over there, I can make a phone call because we do have a small industry. And my belief is that if I take care of people, even if they leave Vertiv, but if I do it right, over time, that will be returned.
There's some
payback to being good.
Yes.
To being a good person. So helping people with their careers, for sure.
Yeah. Totally. I think, and once again, if I can teach that to people, and that becomes a really prominent part of Vertiv culture, which I think in some ways it is, all of a sudden, man, we start to win that game of competing for talent. And unfortunately for me, the people I'm competing with are, yes, local firms. Competing with Facebook. I'm competing with AWS. I'm competing with people that have just...
Yeah, I read that about AWS recently.
Holy moly. It is.
Yeah, they're out to get you. Yeah.
I mean, I would say that it's both good and bad, but a lot of the decision makers, a lot of our customers are former Vertiv people.
Yeah.
They said, man, you're the best person we've ever seen with this. Why don't you come work for us? We'll pay for you to go out to the West Coast and, we'll give you stock options with, it's just that's a thing that I do want to encourage younger listeners to. I think the growth that's going on within the broader built environment, and the technology increases that are occurring in terms of digital twins and the advent of AI that as it's utilized at a local basis. I mean, this is going to be a really fun place to work for a long period of time where you get to do what I would describe as real engineering to the degree that you'd like to.
I mean, driving down the street and seeing a building that you actually worked on or in or designed the entire thing, it is you are turning your car around and you're parking in the parking lot and calling your mom.
Yeah.
I mean, it's type fun. Of moments that you can look forward to in this industry. It's incredible.
This is a little bit of a non-traditional personal thing, but I also say being in this industry has given me a great deal of confidence to take on things. So I think about kind of what I do at my house. A lot of folks would just hire out, but there are certain areas I'm like, I do hire for jobs I don't like. I don't like to put in tile, right? I don't love putting in floors, but I can
live without grout.
Spacers. I will never touch that again in my life.
Right.
For any amount of
money. Oh my gosh. And then every day you walk by it and you're like, that one.
No, man, that is artistry.
Yes. Right. Correct. Right. And if I can walk out of my house, come back in and it's done, whatever you want. Yeah. I'll make you food or anything.
Take my money.
Yeah. Here you go.
I do love that if you're in the HVAC or the broader built environment kind of industry, it does give you a sense of how to manage projects and take on complicated tasks in an organized fashion.
Yeah.
That I do think shows up in the rest of your life in a way that maybe other careers don't help you. They don't have that side benefit of equipping you to do those other things. Well,
forcing you to take a step back and look at the bigger picture.
Yes, but I would say that the things that I've taken on in my career have, outside of my career, have been aided by the principles I've learned within my career.
Totally.
Of how to properly do projects.
Yeah.
So
just again, that you're looking at it like a project.
Yes, exactly.
You know, it's a mindset that you've trained yourself in. So when anything arises in your life, a tree falls into your path, there's a lot of different options you have with that tree. You can go over it, you can cut it up, make firewood, you can go underneath it, you can sit there and cry about the tree in your path, but it's a project, right?
Yes.
So how do we get to the end point of this trail?
You bring up a great thing, and I think because I've always been in this industry, I've never worked outside of it, I took for granted that that was a thing that everybody did.
Mm.
And as you know, I mean, you learn a lot of things being married for 20 years, but one of the things I learned, my wife's very, very intelligent. She's a math teacher. She has I mean, she did far better in her college math classes than I did doing engineering. And, but when it comes to thinking about how to renovate the first floor of our house, to her, that is a mysterious black box of intimidation.
Yeah,
she would never contemplate that. She didn't even believe it was possible for a person to do it, but she's very, very intelligent. She just doesn't have that familiarity. She doesn't work that way. And so I think that's one of those things that when you work in the consulting world, when you work in the facilities world, when you work in these different worlds, you start to pick up some capabilities that you don't immediately assign a value to, but that value is 100% there in your life. And I think there's a lifetime benefit to it that shows up outside of simply just making a paycheck. There's other things that bleed over. Maybe other careers are that way, like medical stuff or things like that. I don't know. I'm not in them. But to me, I see this additional value add to our lives if you remain in this industry. To me, that's really exciting.
I mean, it's like working out. You're constantly problem solving with your mind, which is opening up neural pathways for you in your personal life to be able to better problem solve.
Yep.
No, and if you totally can provide solutions to people around you, people are going to like you. And if people like you, you're going to have generally a better life.
Yes.
I
totally agree with that.
Great points, guys. Totally agree with that. I hate to stop a conversation that could go on for hours, but you know, we got to wrap today.
Oh,
so I wanted to make sure that we had a chance to
we're going
to
definitely have you on.
Oh yeah.
It's, probably
it's not our last
10 more
episode
times.
Yeah. Really, so
you and Carl Schultz, we got to get those two together. You guys are wonderful speakers.
We could have extended edition.
I love the conversation.
So that's really funny.
We
I know Carl. Yeah. I used to work in the HVAC community in Columbus for a number of years. So actually I know Carl.
Yep. He was my first boss. I was the last URS employee hired before they became AECOM. Yeah.
No way.
He was my first boss. Yeah.
Oh, that's really funny. I wonder if we overlapped when I was working.
I'm sure.
We may have. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, shoot. Well, that's disappointing. I want to keep going. Maybe, but I would say
it sets us up for a sequel.
Yes.
Okay, there
correct.
We go. You know, if I were to leave in a relevant way, advice, one key advice. This isn't my preeminent advice that we give people, but this is
to listen to the next podcast.
But it really
cliffhanger.
But it really it's really appropriate this moment in time. You always in any situation want to leave people wanting more of you, not less of you.
Right.
So perhaps it's important that we end this on time.
Love it.
With great stuff on the cutting room floor to talked about in the future.
Yes, totally.
Agreed. So we'll set up the next date here before we leave. And again, thanks, Tift, and thanks, Rafi. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thanks, Jay.
Right, fantastic.
To the Columbus ASHRAE podcast.
All right.